And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So this weekend I went through and listened to the handful of recordings that I did, filler, something like a bonus, probably will be a bonus. I'll at least upload them onto the website for those of you who are interested. I don't know if they might go in the RSS feed, but listening to my optimism of the initial departure and then handful of troubles that took place kind of gave me a flashback of those times where I was recording. I really wish I did more, but I didn't. I recorded one on the Friday that I got back after my first trip and realized exactly how exhausted I was, only to have to wake up again the next day and start off again. The people that had told me, "I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be exhausted," they weren't joking. Now, granted, the majority of the trip wasn't terrible. Definitely just sitting back and relaxing. But when it was time to unwind, it was, holy cow, I'm tired. I made two trips. One at the beginning of end of March and right at the beginning of April. Dropping off a whole bunch of stuff down here in Tennessee to a storage unit. Making it possible. Clearing out the house. Making it presentable for showing my house, making it empty, giving people a more or less blank slate to see how they can create the house as their own. And I know I talked about only packing what you need, but holy cow, I brought a lot of crap. I brought a lot of stuff. So far, haven't seen a whole bunch that's excessive. I still have a handful of boxes that qualify, that fall under extracurricular, I guess, like pictures. Pictures that you hang on the wall, handful of family pictures. Nothing's decorating the walls just yet, except for two shelves that I've put up myself, some bookcases, but those aren't on the walls. There's a handful of other things that are, again, still packed away in boxes that don't need to be out and set up just yet. But I was restarting my life. I was starting up from scratch. And after those 2 weeks, those two travel periods, I came back and still had more stuff to vacate, disperse, get rid of that I knew wouldn't fit on the third trip. I had walls to paint, holes to patch, little intricacies that needed to be fixed and, again, presentable. And even after dropping off two loads of stuff down here in 2 weeks, Cannonball Run style for three of the runs. One trip was three drivers, had some hotel stays so we could all make it down. And then we did a cannonball run, 40-something hours, straight from Tennessee back to Washington, load up the trailer on a Friday, and take off again on Saturday with three other drivers plus me. And so it was a cannonball run down, unload everything, stay the night in Tennessee, and then cannonball run it back up. What a trip. What fun, chaotic-ish, definitely takes a unique thought process, willingness, determination, and then the potential for breakdowns. I lost a wheel on the trailer on day one, and luckily no one was injured, no one was hurt, no damage to vehicles. And then night number two on the initial trip down, a starter went out in the second vehicle, and just how we fixed it, flew by the seat of our pants, essentially making this happen. But then the other three trips, nothing terrible happened. The other three one ways. So I will be extremely grateful that my problems were minimal. And that tire loss happened in Idaho at a fantastic point early on in the trip, more or less. If I had made it into much further than where I lost that tire, it would have been hours one way to go find a replacement situation for what happened. The starter, again, perfect timing situation. We were able to fix it on the night before, and then the morning after it was officially done, officially toast. Able to fix it again just in time to keep more or less our schedule. But being able to traverse this country is something that I'm very grateful for. The ability to leave one area, one scenario, one way of governance, a general, I don't want to call it a rule of living because of how society operates. Granted, there are rules, but just how the people more or less interact with everybody. There's a thing in Seattle called the Seattle Freeze, and it's not unique to Seattle, but if you're not from there, if they don't know you, people don't talk to you. It's just kind of a thing. If you're not a member of their neighborhood or their clique, you're kind of an outcast, or so it has seemed to me, always being a transplant. Wherever I go, I've been a transplant. But Seattle was, again, very unique in that aspect that you're not here, you're not even a part of our class, we don't want to talk to you. And in Washington, it's not like I was out there picking up chicks left and right, but anytime you talk to a woman, they were always looking at you like, why are you talking to me? What is your business? Why are you here? Even if it was just a wave hello or a holding the door kind of situation, small talk at the cash register, not very much. Out here is a night and day difference. Walking through the store and just random people, you make eye contact with random people and they go, hello. They wish you a good day. When I came down here, middle of summer for my final trek, it was just me and the dog, no one else to unload the trailer and the truck. And I show up and it's 95 degrees out and massive amount of humidity. I forget what it was now, but it was brutal. It was probably 7 hours of me unloading the trailer, loading it all up into the storage unit, the last little bit that would fit, and just miserable. I'm glad I got the AC fixed in that truck just in time. And it lasted long enough to break shortly after, but that's okay. During that trip down, it was hot. But I got the trailer truck unloaded. It was like, screw this. I've worked hard. It's really freaking hot out, seeing as in Seattle, it probably was only 70 when I left. And go to the ice cream store, and I'm sitting back. I'm waiting in line. There's two people sitting there waiting in line. And so I lean up against a post, and just, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And they move, and the lady disappears from the window. I'm like, okay, I still got a minute. And some guy walks up straight to the window, and the lady comes and talks to him. I'm like, ah, I was next in line. Didn't you see me? And I'm like, I wasn't standing in line. That's okay. I'll be okay. It's just ice cream. And he makes his order. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to have this happen again. So I walk up and he turns around. He goes, oh my goodness, were you in line? I'm so sorry. Something like that would have never happened in Washington. He apologized like 3 times. And I kept telling him, no, it's my fault. I was the one standing back. Didn't look like I was in line. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm wiped out. Heat exhaustion. And it's not that I haven't run into that politeness every single place, but it's that kind of openness, that acknowledgement that there's actually other people within the greater area. Go to the grocery store. Not everybody, again, is saying hi and, trying to shake your hand. But you go to the cash register and no one's afraid to talk to you. Everybody's making good time small talk and enjoying themselves. Everybody's here existing, living the day, and enjoying it. That's definitely something I experienced the handful of stops that I made coming across the country, is that the handful of places where I did interact with people were, they were happy to communicate, they were happy to talk, happy to have that little small bit of chit-chat. Circling back, going back to the recordings again that I wish I did more of, a little bit better documentation of my travels. But definitely on that third trip, everything, I was packed to the gills on the third trip. It was very minimal room all the way up. The good thing I didn't have a passenger outside of the dog because the footwell was already all the way full for that spot. But little things that I've noticed, little things that I'll share. I took one specific route for my initial two journeys, taking mostly Highway 80 across the United States. Simple, easy enough, a good enough adventure. And then the final trip, I decided to go through Montana and come down through that way and go through the northeastern quadrant of Wyoming instead of all the way across Wyoming. Montana is absolutely beautiful in early June. Lots of green, lots of open sky, lots of fantastic views, and an easy enough drive. Getting into Montana was brutal. There was a giant hill going probably about 20 miles an hour up that hill, leaving Idaho. And then right as you crest the hill, that's the Idaho-Montana border, and you go downhill for just as many miles, but definitely a lot easier. Wyoming, the little bit that I was still in Wyoming, I found it boring when I was going through the southern end, and it's still boring going through the northeastern quadrant. There's nothing out there. Like the four cities that you go through, that's it. And that's all that's out there. There's gas production along the southern end. Sinclair gas production, oil production. So that was something else to see, and how that definitely stimulates a section of their economy outside of farm ranches kind of situation there. I don't know if they're even ranches, but miles and miles of barbed wire fence along the roadways to cordon off game animals or herd animals. South Dakota was beautiful, a little bit different than what Nebraska kind of looked like for the little bit that I was in South Dakota. I thought South Dakota would be a little bit more flat. Nope. I went through the Black Hills, a little bit more hilly than the flat Google map decided to tell me. I didn't pay enough attention. That's okay. Still beautiful and fantastic. I went and I saw Mount Rushmore. Figured I'd check that off my list. That was cool. Definitely interesting enough. But then as I was leaving South Dakota and going into Nebraska, the High Plains area of Nebraska, it was, you drove through a game preserve, had to watch out for buffalo. That was definitely cool to see. A whole bunch of buffalo, lots of signs saying do not approach the buffalo as they'll mess you up. They're giant, giant animals. Very cool to see. But then after that transition between South Dakota and Nebraska, it's like driving through a Windows Vista desktop of the rolling plains, all that grass just kind of out there. And taking this extra road, this little side deal into Nebraska, into Alliance, Nebraska, where I checked out Carhenge. And then instead of going further south to catch back up to the interstate, I decided to cut through the very middle of Nebraska, taking state routes. And for the pace that I was taking, it was nice to be on the state routes. No trying to battle for lanes or whatnot to be able to traverse and get side to side and whatnot. And especially because no one else was out there. I was pretty much the only car for the majority of the time on the road. But that book that I mentioned, The Blue Highways, that I talked about last episode, that guy drives around the country and does his best to avoid the four-lane freeways and sticks on the two-lane highways, the state routes, the means of coming through and finding those off-the-beaten-path kind of places, seeing something other than the giant billboard signs. It made me realize that if I were living in Nebraska, I guess it's not a realization, but came to the conclusion that if I lived along the middle lane of Nebraska, which was all hills going from west to east, a lot more hilly than the Highway 80 at the southern end of it, but it was still fantastic views, really cool to see. But if I lived out that way, I would definitely need to learn how to ride a horse, because there's nothing out there. There's a handful of towns, small towns, where there might be 300 people, maybe 700 if you're lucky, and 30 to 50 miles from the next somewhat decent-sized town, or at least a gas station. I got waved hello, and people waved back as the conductors waved back, and trains in Nebraska, seeing as I was, again, pretty much the only person out there, and that was definitely cool to see. Hauling loads of coal. Where? Don't know, but as I was going east, they were hauling it west. One thing that I found very interesting for, again, Nebraska. What an interesting state. It was very cool to see up until, again, that last little bit. So you're like, all right, I'm done with Nebraska. It's cool to see. It's awesome to see. But right in the middle of it, right in the middle of Nebraska where there's no trees, Nebraska has a national forest where someone kind of sneezed out a handful of tree seeds and bam, Nebraska has a national forest. It's kind of a plot. It's kind of weird to see you driving up and sign for it and you blink and it's gone. But as I made my way to the eastern part of the state, I had to drive north on Nebraska State Route 91. And I thought Highway 80 was straight. No. State Route 91 in Nebraska is straight. You could take, as long as your alignment is good, you could take your hands off the wheel, and as long as there's no breeze, you're not going anywhere outside of forward. And that was kind of rough after about an hour on that. It's like, I'm ready for at least a turn. But then the rest of the road trip, I'm kind of more or less uneventful. Did meet up with some fellow podcasters in Missouri after my trip through Nebraska. So I guess that's quite a few steps higher than uneventful, but had a good time with them exploring Kansas City, learning about Kansas City and how well that city is run, how they've planned everything out, how they keep everything rolling. Kansas City seems to have the grand idea of the same general idea as what the greater Seattle area has, but they execute it so much more. They actually hold people accountable. They actually garner taxes, and they figure it all out. So they have, again, that the concept and the execution going rather well, being able to use public transit and traverse downtown, and it's clean. It was so clean. I was surprised at how clean downtown could be. And then one thing I learned, I will definitely have to go back to Kansas City for. I'll have to figure out a road trip on that as soon as time and funding allow, is there's a World War I monument in Kansas City that I need to check out. I think they said it was the only one in the country, the only World War I monument. Supposed to have a forever flame up there, but due to COVID, they turned it off. Don't know why, but that's okay. Hopefully it'll be back on when I go to visit. Illinois and Indiana are kind of bland. They weren't bad. I was just kind of cutting across both of them. Kentucky was a beautiful state to drive through. Very pretty, going through all those hills. And I thought it would be a rather simple path into Tennessee. Nope, there's more mountains. A lot taller mountains than I thought they were going to be climbing into Tennessee. But I made it in. I made it into town. Finalized my trip with the last of my excessive amount of stuff. And yet not so much excessive. Seems to be filling out the house just right. But this trip, this journey, going across country, experiencing different areas, different people, sights. It would have been nice to have more of an open plan and not be driving almost 40 feet of vehicle to be able to park decent places, regularly working AC. More of an open time plan to make diversions, to go actually take pictures and experience things just a little bit more. Road tripping was a pastime of American generations gone by. And now we have millennials and Zoomers who, for whatever reason, don't seem to believe in cars, don't believe in personal transportation. We here in the United States have the ability to go from vassal state to vassal state, change where we live, change how we interact with society, dealing with the the rules that they so choose to impose. We'll see how the rules of imposement happen here, in a place that definitely supports their police force outside of, or completely different than what at least downtown Seattle has to say about the police force. And there's other values here that I will definitely have to relearn, become accustomed to, and understand. But outside of just sightseeing and tours, and again, we have this ability to change more or less our immediate overlords. Federal government has its certain roles to play, but the state government comes in a lot more impact for us as individuals. County, even more so. City, even more so. Neighborhood, if we even go so far as to live in an HOA, even more direct impact on our daily lives. We have the option, the ability to move. Sometimes we're comfortable. Sometimes we believe in where we live. We here, again, in the United States, have that option, have that ability to change. Makes me sad when I see places like Europe and all those different countries. Again, you can go from one side of Europe to the other in a day or whatever it is. But you go through so many different, vastly different regulations and rules. It's kind of why the EU was more or less created. They're still very, very different, in addition to different languages. And if you don't like where you live, let's say in Germany, and you want to move to France, well, you're not just changing states, you're changing countries. It's a new passport, new language, new general way of life, in a nutshell, very broad. Whereas here in the United States, it's a different way of life. I don't need a new passport. Got to get a different driver's license, but that's, I can still drive across. I don't have border checks. Not yet. Going from here to there. We've got this option. We have this ability. And even with electric cars coming, you may only be able to go one state over instead of making it across the country in 40 hours. Oh, that was rough. But it was good. Fantastic experience. If you have the, I don't know if it's cojones, the aptitude, the insanity level to do such a trip, it qualifies. Push yourself on those at least 12-hour days, plan it out, and it's doable. It's possible. We can do it. We get the option to, more or less, choose our overlords. But with this whole bunch of randomized kind of bouncing around, trying to figure it all out, trying to, again, get back in this groove, just trying to work things out, we'll wrap this up. A little bit of a longer show. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for hanging out. I've been Billy Bones, BillyBone, the number 3S. You find me on Twitter, Gab, at Billy Bones. You find me on the Mastodon at the No Agenda Socials, at Billy Bones, at NoAgendaSocial.com. And there's a website, BillyBones.com, spelled the same way with the number 3 instead of an E. And there's email, BillyBones@mail.com. All sorts of ways to get in contact with me. This is a Value for Value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or any of the previous episodes, any of the catalog, the first thing that I ask that you do is you give the show a share. Maybe someone else gets an idea, something to get their gears turning, gives them a talking point. We can get that conversation started. But if you found value out of this podcast, you're welcome to donate, support the show, time, talent, treasure. And no Federal Reserve Freedom Units came in. That's okay. I wouldn't expect it. But I do have to say, since this is a podcast 2.0 compliant app, I do accept Sats, Boosts. If you have a new podcast apps, newpodcastapps.com. You go there. You can stream Sats like Anon at through Castomatic, chipping in just a handful of Sats, tiny bits of Bitcoin. Or Pocket Parlay said he was receiving boosts, and he also said something else that I've now lost, saying congratulations, and he's excited to see where I take things. And the music has run out. Restart music. And But again, if you want to support the show, I'm not looking for hundreds of dollars. I wouldn't say no to hundreds of dollars. But sats. I sent out 333 sats to a handful of other people, other podcasters, and it's only $7 or 7 cents in American units, American Freedom, Federal Reserve Freedom units in the conversion. And I'm okay with that. Small little tiny bits. I got no problem collecting pennies in the penny jar. But again, share the show. Maybe leave a review, see if that helps the algos kind of pick this up. And we'll see where we take this. I've got research that I need to do on other topics. Getting this ball rolling. But if you got questions or comments, love mail or hate mail, again, get in contact with me. Aforementioned means. And then, yeah. Thank you for listening. Love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week.